song alone that we just sung. Hope that everybody's already uplifted, encouraged, that love and good works has been stirred up inside of me. I know that I couldn't go through the song without smiling, thinking how wonderful it is, how wonderful it is when you do see that rainbow up in the sky. Again, as we look at the rainbow and we see it in the sky days after it rained, looking into God's covenant, His promise with mankind that He'll never ever again flood this entire world. And seeing that He has kept His word and continues to keep His word, keeps His promise, it should help strengthen our faith and help us to see that He's going to keep the rest of His promises also. Help us look forward to that day in which we shall be in heaven with Him. We can remain faithful unto Him, that He is just and faithful, that He will forgive your sins if you're willing to confess your sins and repent of them and turn from them. Just very uplifting and encouraging. I want to ask that you open up your Bibles as we go through the lesson this morning. Once again, always encourage that you follow along to see that it is the Word of God that is being presented. And that the truth is being taught. What I want to talk about this morning is talk about church and worship. Go forth and talk about and see what the Scriptures have to say. Understanding what the church is. And understanding how we are to worship. So I ask that you open up your Bibles and that you follow along. See what it is that God has to say. And let us follow the Scriptures as He has commanded us to do so. I know in previous lessons recently I've pointed out a lot of these passages in this first point that I'm going to bring out. But I think it makes this separate point that maybe I didn't quite push on. But into the point that the church is not the building. I want to get that understood. I want it to be known that as when we talk about church, we're not talking about this building that we have gathered together. It's not the building. It's easy to get caught up, and I know I do it myself. Sometimes I catch myself and I try to correct it just because it's something that, as children, they might start to think that that is the church, the building is. Because you say, where are we going? We're going to church. I try to word it, we're going to worship, or we're going to Bible class. We're gathering with the church. And we'll get with that here in a minute. The first point I want to bring out is it's not the building. As we look into the letters that are written by Paul and to the churches, you'll see that he's writing to the church of God when he writes to the churches in Corinth. Or in Galatians 1:2, you'll see that he is writing to the churches in Galatia, churches of Galatia. And he writes a letter to the churches of Thessalonica. And my point, as we look at those verses, as you might open up your Bible and you read the beginning of these chapters, chapter 1, within the first 2-3 verses, and he writes to them, he's not writing to the building. Paul is not writing these letters going to the building. And then he lists all these things that they need to be doing and encouraging them, the building, for doing its good job. He's not writing to the building. He's not writing to the Westside Church of Christ building. We need to understand that. We need to see that. When we read Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Romans 16 and verse 16, and it says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. The building's not doing that. It's not the building. Let us not get focused on the building. Let's not focus on that this is the one and only. There are other congregations in this area. There's other congregations, other towns. There's other congregations, other states. There's other congregations, and they are the church, the people that meet there. The building is not the church, and we need to make sure we understand that. And understand, I believe there is good work done by having a building, that it is a good assistance and having a place to come together and worship. And I do not believe it's unscriptural to have a building to come together and worship. through examples throughout the Word of God, we can see time and again they've always had a place to come together. We see throughout the Old Testament, God had them build a tabernacle, build a temple, they had synagogues, they met in houses, they had places in which they knew to meet. Without a designated place, without a designated building to come together, it would be hard to have visitors, as we have this morning, we have visitors. It would be hard to get the word out. Well, we're going to meet at so-and-so's house today, we're going to meet at their house tomorrow, next week, we're going to meet at the other house. You know, and the word, you know, how are we going to get visitors to know where we're meeting? How are you going to, you know, I know it, but it'd be harder to do. And once the congregation grows, well, who's got a big enough house, big enough place for us to come together, you know, so many people in one place? And so I absolutely believe that it is okay to have a building, but the building in itself is not the church. It is not the church. And I can believe that this building, since it is dedicated by the collection that is gathered upon the first day of the week for the work of the saints, for the work of the church, that it, to an extent, you might say, it is a place of worship. Just as Jesus went into the synagogue, this is the house of prayer, right? It's supposed to be a house of prayer, a house of worship. That's what we should look at this place, because it is been purchased, and it is, you know, the electricity and everything we have. You know, we can go and talk to Scott, since he's our treasurer, and see that the collection that we have pays for certain things every single month. Just as when Moses was traveling, we study in Exodus, and he was traveling and he was taking care of the herd, you know, that place wasn't holy ground until when? Until God was there. Until the presence of God in the burning bush. Take off your sandals, for this is holy ground. Was it holy ground before that? But because we've come together, because we've designated this place, this area, this for this time being, and the money of the Lord's that we've given to Him is used for it, we should keep it that way. And to the point that we're not going to use it for other things. We're not going to use it for social gatherings. We're not going to use it for other stuff. And that's a whole other lesson. I'm not going to try to get carried away there. And the point that it is not the building. The church is not the building. It's not the location either. Again, we looked at that here in all those points as you look in through the, you know, Galatia, Corinth, Thessalonica, Rome. Open your Bibles with me, if you will, to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. This helps us understand that it's not the location. It's not a matter that we have to build a building somewhere, though. You know, here in John chapter 4, Jesus, as he is traveling, comes to a well. He speaks with a woman. And as you read here, it says, she's speaking to our Lord. She says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." We'll look at the rest of those verses here in a bit that Jesus continues to speak on. But he brings out the point that there's a time that comes that it doesn't matter if you're up on the high mountain and that you're at peace because you've left everything else behind you and you've come here to worship, or if you've taken the time to travel all the way to Jerusalem. Time that's come, and time that is here already, that we don't have to go to those places to worship our God. It's not about the place. Again, it's not the building, it's not the location. I'm going to assume, I wasn't here, I'm going to assume, and you can ask, I know, Kathy and some others that were here when this congregation started. They didn't go around and find some holy people saying, "Where's the holy ground at? We need to build a church." Not about the location. And I think these are things to make sure we understand. Because there are times in which we can get caught up in trying to hold on to certain places when the place isn't supposed to be what's on our focus. The church is the people. And if you have one of the bulletins that follows the lesson, I somehow left this out of there. And so I apologize. You have to make a little extra mark on this at this point here. We are the church. The people make up the congregation. The people make up the church. You go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many." And so as you continue down throughout the rest of this chapter, continues on that point. Continues on the point, just because I'm not of the eye, I'm not of the body, you know, you may be the nose. Just because I'm not the foot, does that mean I'm not of the body? Well, no, you might be the hand. And so we individually are members of the body. And if you turn along with me, here to Colossians chapter 1, we'll see that the body is the church. So when we read through that, we're talking about the church. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, it says, "And he," Christ, "is the head of the body," the church, "who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence." Again, jump down to verse 24. It says, "I now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up my flesh what is lacking in afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church." So when we go through and we read in 1 Corinthians 12, when we read about being different members, each person making up the church, as we are individually members of the body, we make up the entire body. All together, as we come together, we make the body full. But I want to make a side note on that, and to the point that as we read that, just because you're the finger doesn't mean you're the whole body. Just because you're a certain part of the church doesn't mean you can be the church by yourself. Understand that. As a preacher, and I'm up here presenting the Word of God as a teacher, if I don't have anyone here today, if I don't have anyone listening to me, then what good is my spot? I don't make up the entire church. What good is it to have elders, shepherds of the flock, if they have no flock to shepherd? An elder doesn't make up the church himself, by himself. He is a member. I am a member of this congregation, of the Lord's church. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the body, but I'm not the entire body. I'm not the entire church. And so when we consider that, people, those who obey the gospel, those who are being baptized and are saved, are added to the church, as we can read in Acts chapter 2. Those who are being saved are added, God added to the church. We make up it. And we have to ask, well, then how are we to worship? Well, then we got to go back to John, if you will. Go back with me to John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, and you read with me in verse 22. John 4 and verse 22, it says, and of course here, she's already asked. He's answered in her that neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem. So verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." Here's how we're supposed to worship. In spirit and truth. In spirit and in truth. Another way to look at it, if you turn along with me to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 15. Part of our worship, praying, singing. And so here it says, "What is the conclusion then I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding. So again, Spirit and truth. Spirit and understanding. Therefore, we understand our God to the point of understanding His Word. We understand that we're supposed to pray to His will, that we are singing according to His will, doing all things according to what He has commanded us to do. Our hearts must be in the right place. Our mindset has to be according to the truth in which He has given us. It has to be lined up with the Word of God. Again, we talked about it this morning as we got into our third lesson of Add to Your Faith, talking about faith in itself and where it's supposed to dwell within our hearts. That faith that is in your heart. Understand, without faith, as we read in Hebrews 11, verse 6, and it's pointed time and again throughout this lesson that we've been studying, that without faith it is impossible to please Him. And the point that what good is it to do certain things without faith? All right? Because as we read in 1 Peter 3, and verse 21, when we talk about baptism does now save, but not the putting away of filth of the flesh. Because we can be immersed in water, we can be dunked in water and get some dirt off of us. But when you get immersed in the water and your mind is focused on, I'm doing this because I believe that when I do this, God is going to forgive my sins, it changes the whole thing that's taking place. All due to your faith. We just took the Lord's Supper. Bread and grape juice. That's all it is. You might have some of that at home, right? So therefore, that's all it is. But when you have faith and you take the time to remember the sacrifice, the purpose of taking that is not to fulfill your stomach. The purpose of drinking that is not to quench your thirst, your physical thirst, your physical hunger. What you're doing at this time and moment is spiritually fulfilling your hunger and thirst for righteousness. Remembering who our Lord is. Remembering the sacrifice that He has made. Faith changes what that is. Not that it physically changes or anything. But it changes what's taking place. So when we worship, we have to worship with faith. Believing in our hearts and in truth according to the way in which He has commanded us to do so. So I've got two more points I want to look at this morning. One point is that we can individually worship. There's individual worship that does need to take place, actually. As we open up our Bibles, I believe you can see that. Again, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. We're not only to pray when we're here together. There are times in which we need to pray and pray on our own, pray for our individual trials and our individual faith and things that we pray for ourselves and pray on our own time. Again, you know, we go into our own closet and all by ourselves, and we don't have to go and brag and tell other people. Your individual work. You can sing on your own and worship God. James chapter 5, verse 13. Again, it can point to prayer here, plus singing. James 5, verse 13. Know that a lot of the times when you read about prayer, giving thanks and praying, usually right behind it. James chapter 5, verse 13 says, if anyone among you suffering, let him pray. Again, if we're suffering, if we're going through trials, if we're going through temptation, if you're actually physically sick, pray. If he is cheerful, if anyone is cheerful, let him sing songs. Does that mean I'm only allowed to sing when I come together with my brothers and sisters in Christ? No. This is when you're happy, when you're joyful, sing. Praise God. Give Him thanks. Worship Him. We can individually worship. As we read throughout the Word of God and you open up and you study the things, we see that we're going to be judged according to our own deeds, right? You're going to be judged by what you do. You're going to be judged by where your heart is, by your choices. In Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12, Philippians chapter 2 and in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." When you're together, when I am with you, but even more when I am not with you. Because again, I'm not saying it always is, but it should be. This time and moment that we have gathered together, that we are with brothers and sisters in Christ, it should be easier to overcome temptation like that. At this time and moment, as you are with those who love God, those who are pushing to obey God, those who are singing out, teaching, and admonishing, those who are ready to pray for you if you need prayers, those who are striving for the same thing that you're striving for, it should be so much easier to worship God than when you're out in the world and you're surrounded by immodesty, surrounded by filthy language, you're surrounded by lying, and you're surrounded by the world. That's when temptation's there actually trying to pull you out. And again, I'm not saying temptation can't happen while we're here. It does happen. But it should be a whole lot easier while we're here. While we're with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we have to be willing to work out our own salvation, be willing to strive. And there are individual commands throughout the Word of God. When we read through and we talk about husbands, that certainly doesn't apply to any of the women. When we talk about wives, that doesn't apply to any of the men. When we talk about children, or when we talk about parents, if you're talking about parents, it does apply to children. There's individual commands that we can read about, individual works in which we're supposed to be about. Shining your light in this world, shining the light of Christ through you. There's individual work and individual worship that we need to be doing. But that does not take away from our collective worship and work that we should be doing together. That there are commands in which we are to be doing certain things together, that we must be doing together as we study the Word of God. Again, yes, we can sing on our own, but also there's time and points in which we're supposed to be teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody and grace in your hearts. So therefore, there are certain times in which you have to be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You have to be with others in order to do this, in order to fulfill this command. You have to be with your brethren. Because if you're singing by yourself, you're fulfilling one part of, yes, I'm cheerful and I'm singing. But there's other commands that you need to fulfill in which teaching and admonishing. And again, nowhere do we find in the Bible that it says you have to sing on the first day of the week. We don't have to do that on Sunday. We can set a whole another day throughout the week and come together on Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday, any day, just to have a singing service, teaching and admonishing one another in songs and hymns. Because we gather together and we see that there is a command in Acts 20 and verse 7 to take the Lord's Supper, that Paul preached, giving us an example to teach a lesson as we gather together, we do so. And since we are here together, it's a good time to sing and teach and admonish one another too, to fulfill this command that we have. But it is a command in which we are to fulfill together. Again, Acts 20 and verse 7, we see that the Lord's Supper is taken as they come together. You turn with me there, Acts 20 and in verse 7. It says, "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Again, we can look at the example as Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, and he did it with his disciples as they gathered together in the upper room. As we look at the examples, we look at what is being taught through the Word of God, it was always as they came together. Again, there's worship that has to be done as we come together. A collective worship as the church, as the people gather together. Because again, I am a member, but I am not the whole church. I have to gather with the church, gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ, come together to sing, teach, and admonish, and to fulfill commands that the Lord has given us. Again, Hebrews. Turn along with me there. Hebrews chapter 10. Here pointing out that we are to be assembling together. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, it says, "And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Again, if I'm by myself, who am I exhorting? If I'm by myself, who am I stirring up love and good works? We have individual commands. We have collective commands. We have individual worship. We also have a collective worship. Again, even as we gather together and we're here as the congregation, if you're not singing out, doing your individual part, are you fulfilling the command that God has given you? We get focused up on what we can see and hear so much. Remembering that it's supposed to be about the grace and melody in our hearts. Listening to the words and singing the words, reading those words that are being sung. Again, I know the song that we had just sung, "There is a Rainbow," that it's a more upbeat song in itself. Just the words, the thoughts of what we're saying there, it should uplift us. Should build us up. And when we think of those words, we should want to sing them to others. Teach it. That's what we're doing. Teaching each other. Encouraging. Stirring up love and good works. So we have to remember that this building is just a building. That those who are around us right now, those who are members of this congregation, that is the church. That is the Lord's body. God's children. Those whom we have to be willing to encourage and help. We have to do that and be there for each other. I don't want to leave without extending the invitation this morning. I hope that I've helped into looking at the Word of God and understanding our worship that must be done again in spirit and truth. When we say that, it means with our hearts and according to the way in which God has commanded us. When we sing the way He has commanded us. When we pray, we're praying according to His will. When we teach His word. We take the Lord's Supper, and His mind's focused upon that sacrifice. When we give with our hearts. Our hearts have to be in the right place. And our worship must be done according to His command. If you're here and you're not yet a member of this congregation, you're not yet part of the Lord's church because you have not obeyed the gospel, therefore God has not added you to His kingdom. And you desire to do that, we want to encourage you to do it. If you're here and you have, and you need the prayers of your brethren, we're here for them. If there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.